Caballero scores the tying run. Here comes Rortvedt, and the Rays win it. It's a 7-6 final. DeLuca comes through.
Tough loss, tough series, obviously. Had a lot of opportunities there. We created traffic and just couldn't get the big hit, you know. It's one of those where right now we're having a hard time. I like the at-bats to create the traffic to get on base, but we're just not getting the big hit. Something that we will continue to work on it because at the end of the day, they're going to come through.
Was that pitch where Diaz wanted it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a 3-2, Rosarena obviously probably sitting soft there. It's one of those where, look, he's human, you know. So left it over the plate, and he put a good swing on it.
What did you see from Pete's at-bats today?
Pretty much the same. He's going through it right now, you know, in between. You know, it's one of those where he's passive with pitchers in the zone that he can do damage with, and then chasing, trying to do probably too much right now. It's one of those where he just got to continue to fight. You know, got to continue to fight through it, continue to work, and just keeping it simple, so.
All right, we're back. You heard from Carlos Mendoza. You heard the walk-off from the Rays' perspective and lost weekend in Tampa. As I said in the open, you don't want to put Talking Mets and Mike Silva in the building watching the Mets on the road because historically you lose and you lose at a high rate. Put me in the bathroom on the mush. But with it being Cinco de Mayo, or yesterday was the fourth be with you, Star Wars fans, we're in that second half of the getting to know you phase that we do to, you know, about Memorial Day. And it's fair to start to look at this team and see them morph into who they are. And I told you a couple of weeks ago there were a lot of things I didn't like. And you know what? Number one, and it's more pertinent to today, I haven't liked what I've seen out of Diaz all season from the first pitch he's thrown all season. I didn't like the velocity drop. I wrote about this over at the Beyond the Mic. A lot of the peripheral on Baseball Savant stats are starting to resemble 2019 when he struggled and single-handedly kept the Mets out of the postseason. So I don't like that. Is it the layover? Is there something else going on with the knee? Is there something else going on with with the shoulder or the arm? I don't know. You know that I'm not there. All I know is he's not confident in his fastball. He's hanging sliders. This is the third home run he's already given up. And that's a problem. And look, the vision and the way Stern's built this team, I think, is going to be kind of how he's going to build teams, at least as long as he's running it. And I'm sure whoever he brings in to be his general manager will probably be in the same mold as what Stern's is looking for. Right now, until they could get more pitching, more, you know, elite pitching, and maybe Christian Scott's the start of that. They got a bunch of vets who can give you 5 to 6 innings and hopefully give you 2 to 3 runs. And when they do that, you put yourself in a position to hand it over to a bullpen that's been very good with an elite closer who right now is not elite. So that's problem number one. So the bridge is good, but the bridge is dependent on the closer being elite and being reliable. And, you know, you want to blame SNY for the jinx stat that, you know, Diaz had 26 straight saves and hasn't blown one. Maybe he needed to get this out of his system. But that's problem number one. Because if Diaz isn't elite or very good, you know, maybe he doesn't have to be 2022 Diaz. If Diaz is bad or is trending more towards 2019, you got a big problem. Now you have more starting pitching depth on the way. McGill, Peterson, you saw Scott, Buto's already here. You know, who knows with, you know, some of the other kids, the Tidwells and stuff like that. I don't know if you're going to see more of the kids this year, but, you know, you're not going to need Julio Teheran or Dylan Bundy or any of those type of pitchers. He put good up the middle defense. I think that the defense hasn't been great at all times, but I told you this week and I was very impressed with Beatty at third. Harrison Bader's great in center. You know, he almost made that play in the 10th inning. McNeil, for all his struggles offensively, and we'll get to that, is still pretty good at second. Lindor, the play he made last night in the 9th inning or the 8th inning? It was the 8th inning with Arvino on the mound. I was my perspective was the left-handed batter's box. I was down in the lower boxes. Left-handed batter's box, like right off to the corner. That throw is amazingly It was amazing. When I saw that bounce over Beatty's head, I said, that's going to go into left field for a little bouncy hit, you know, a chopping hit on the grass. Not only does he get to it, it shows you the range he's got, the throw. I mean, Lindor's elite defensively. He's not Ray Ordóñez, but he's elite defensively. So they've got some good up-the-middle defense. They have the good bullpen, and they have some decent optionable arms. So that's a good thing. Here's where this is kind of gotten weird. And you heard a little bit about Mendoza talking about the offense on the clip on the way in. I saw this team, especially with J.D. Martinez being part of the mix, that they'd be similar to 2022. You have that core offensive players that are going to be the hub, and then your component guys or your very good guys, your Martes and guys like that, would be able to do enough to score about 4.5 runs a game. And for a while, they were not only doing that when they got out of that 0-5 funk, but they were averaging over 6 runs a game. And according to our calculator, this is the offense, if they, based on historical projections and Steamer and the projections from the smart guys over at sites like Fangraphs, that could probably score 5 runs a game. And they did today. I mean, they did the offense. Even though the offense was good today, it wasn't good. Because you heard about not getting the big hit, not really maximizing what... I mean, today could have been a game where they blew them out. It should have been a game where they blew them out. And that's really where the problem with the 2024 Mets is. Right now, between the inconsistency from some of the veteran starters not going long, the offense not being able to put up enough crooked numbers, and the fact that they can't blow anybody out, they're in constant close games, which at best they're going to be 50-50 on. And if you win those at a high level, typically what happens is you're deemed lucky and that luck will swing back the other way. There is not a world where this Mets team could absorb a season where Alonso, Nimmo, Lindor, those three I'll start with. Because right now I'm not putting McNeil in the core. McNeil is a component player. And he's acting, really, what's the difference between him and Joey Wendell at this point? And, you know, J.D. Martinez is an elite hitter. He's going to be part of the core. I'll at least give him the rust factor right now. I one of the reasons why I wasn't crazy about them trying to acquire him in 2022 is because I worried about the back, and the back has been an issue. So we don't know if that's still a problem. You're not going to hear about it. But, you know, they cannot have a season where not only are Alonso, Nimmo, and Lindor below their career norms, they're significantly below their career norms. I'm not expecting them to have career years. I want them to be normal. I want Nimmo to be that elite run creator. Pete to, you know, drive in runs. A guy who's driven in 120, 125, 130 runs. I mean, the guy's not driving anybody in. Yeah, he's second in the league in homers as of the other day. Big deal. Anybody could pop a home run. I mean, what you're seeing now with Pete Alonso is worst case scenario of what people thought he was going to be coming out of the minors. And I know it's only 6 weeks. McNeil, energy's bad. Body language is bad. He looks like he's forgotten how to hit. He's not a component player anymore. And because of that, you've lost a component player. You know, Marte has been okay. Okay, you know, but he's a very good surrounding piece. You know, he was a core piece in 2022 because he had an elite year, but that might not have been who he was. You know, you've gotten best case scenario after what you saw about Marte last year. You know, Bader's a defense glove guy who's given you just enough with the bat and can hit left-handed pitching. And then you're relying on Beatty and Alvarez to get themselves situated. Alvarez is hurt, so you're not going to see him for a while. And Beatty is still very inconsistent. I mean, right now, it should be a lineup with J.D. Martinez, Alonso, Nimmo, Lindor that has enough offense, and with the component guys like McNeil and Marte, that what Beatty's given you, even though it's not been great on the offensive side, his glove is definitely, you know, more than passable. I'm not saying he's gold glove, but my eyes say he's above league average. And that's a big swing from where he was last year. You know, you can't get on Beatty's case. Like, he's a component player right now who can become a core player if he develops. There is no way they could compete. I don't even think they could finish 500 with those guys, those three guys, hitting in the where they're hitting right now. Now, history says they're going to hit to the back of the baseball card. They've got too much history, those three guys. if they're healthy and not declining, which age or the age they're in, they're not ready to be in the decline phase. Now, what could be wrong? Look, maybe Lindor got, I mean, Lindor, since he's got off to a bad start, has been better. But he's not hitting consistently left-handed. Nimmo, there's been some metrics that indicate that he's been unlucky. He's been hitting the ball hard and it's not been dropping. You know, maybe, you know, we'll reserve the right on him a little bit. Alonso's the one that's pretty much the synopsis. And I'll take JD Martinez, like I said, to the side, because he's been, you know, he's late spring training, shaking off the rust. Alonso's the guy that looks completely lost. And you heard Mendoza about it, in between. And he's been like this for a while. He hasn't been great all year. He's flailing away a little bit. You know, last night they walked him and pitched to JD Martinez late in the game. And I turned to the guy that I was with at the ballpark. I said, I wouldn't do that. Now, I know they were ahead 2-0. Pete was ahead 2-0 on the count. So maybe Kevin Cash was like, hey, you know, I don't want to mess around here and tempt fate. He's still Pete Alonso. But I would pitch to Pete over JD Martinez. I mean, JD Martinez is a professional hitter. Maybe it was just a bad week in Tampa. He's home, maybe trying too much. But there's also this whole thing, this contract year and the pressure and the stress to earn whatever his agent is asking. And, you know, Scott Boras is, you know, is going to want $30 million a year. You know that this thing about being where his future is, whether he's going to be traded, has got to be partly out there, the uncertainty. He decided, look, he didn't want to make things happen. It looks like the Mets were part of that too. But if you really wanted to sign long-term and not go into a walk year and deal with that, you would have found a way. I'm sure there was a way to, at least a year or two ago, to get past all that. So when you start to look at this team, you got to be excited, like we said in the open, about Christian Scott and some of the things you're hearing down the farm with the pitching. And I think the starters will be enough where they'll get you into a competitive situation where you're in the ball game in the sixth or seventh inning. The bridge is good. You like what you see out of Vino and Beekman and Reed Foley and you know, I know Rayleigh, the news on Rayleigh isn't good, you know, with his elbow. But regardless of who they mix and match, they've done a good job with the bridge. And Diaz, I'm concerned, but I'm not yet saying, okay, Diaz is not, you know, I don't even need it to be Diaz 2022. But when you're right now where you're at with this team, and we're going to find out over the next 2 or 3 weeks if this is a slump, an early season slump, or this is a trend, or there's something worse, we need to get answers that we're going to see the real Pete Alonso, the real Lindor on the offensive side, the real Nimmo consistently, the real Edwin Diaz. And then on top of that is JD Martinez that they think they're getting. Is he on the other side of the hill and the Dodgers squeezed the last juice out of him last year? We'll see. Because there ain't no reinforcements. You get a Christian Scott or a Buto to help you in the rotation. You have no offensive reinforcements internally right now that are going to help you. Gilbert's out. Acuna's not hitting. You know, maybe he gets a shot later in the year. Listen, I'm not a scout. I'd have to ask somebody that I trust what they look at down there. Could it be any worse than Wendell and McNeil at second base? I mean, when you see what the Rays running around and stealing base after base, just getting Acuna in the lineup to steal a few bases might give them some energy. They may need that energy bolt. Alvarez, Beatty, still developing. Big blow with Alvarez not being in the lineup. You know, you get good defense from Nito, but you've got that soft. I mean, if Beatty is in a bad slump, and with Bader being Bader, you're not going to get more than, you know, slightly league average, slightly below league average on offense. He's there for defense. And then Nito, you've got, you know, 3 innings a game that's very unlikely that you're going to get anything going. And if those guys come up with runners on base, even worse. And that's the thing, you know, Mendoza likes the at-bats, but he doesn't like the execution or runners in scoring position. You know, that's something they're going to have to work out internally. I can't speak to that. So, you know, you could bring up Vientos, but, and I asked somebody who's in the game and looks at these things. They told me, well, you know, the problem you have with Vientos is he can't hit anything over 95 miles an hour. Well, that's a problem with the league that everyone's throwing. So basically what that tells me, he might be a guy that can hit bad pitching in the big leagues, but will struggle against good pitching. Mets don't need that right now. And they certainly, with Beatty's glove, if Beatty does anything league average at with the bat right now, That's going to help this team. That's going to be a big thing for that lineup. So right now, there are warning signs. Your closer is not even close to being a very good closer right now. He's a inconsistent, kerosene on the fire closer. A closer that you saw back in 2019. Your core players are all not hitting. Your component players are not hitting. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that McNeil and Alonso were carrying the Mets offense in 2019 when they had not the same component players, when they had to replace the Mets earlier in the year when they had all the injuries, when Conforto wasn't hitting. They're not close to being, I mean, the guy that, I mean, Alonso, I think, is in a little bit of a slump. But now, 3 out of the last 4 years, McNeil has looked like this weak hitting, 250, pretty good glove, versatile player that really looks like an 8 or 9 hitter. I mean, I don't expect him to be Daniel Murphy like he was for half a season in 2019 with the juiced ball. And I don't expect him to hit 20 homers, but I expected a guy that hit 290, 300, 310, doubles machine, 7 to 10 home runs. He's nowhere near that. He's nowhere near that. Now, was it because the no more shifts that all of a sudden they know how to play him straight up and they took away his power? That was something that when he was brought up, they talked about, some of the experts, the scouts, that said, hey, he doesn't hit the ball hard enough and in the air enough to overcome some of that. Now, that was during a shift era. You know, this was a guy that when he had that season in 2019 where in the first half he hit 370, looked like Pete Rose spraying the ball over the place. And then in the second half, he turned into Daniel Murphy with power. And then, you know, he was more of who you thought he would be in 2022 when he won the batting title, where he sprayed the ball around, but he hit doubles. He was consistent. He got big hits. And, you know, he's versatile and plays defense. You can't ask more than that. Did he get paid and did it change it? Is he hurt because he has the elbow issue with the ligament? I don't know. His body language and his energy is awful. I saw it myself. I saw him in batting practice. I saw him. I was in the building. To quote a great, in the building. What a great radio host terminology used to use. The Long Islandese, in the building. So, as good as the news is on the pitching side from Saturday, and let's hope it stays the same and these guys stay healthy and progress, and as much promise as I think this team has, because I think they have the bones to be in the mix for a postseason spot. I don't think they're a garbage team, but they are not a team that can have any margin of error, and most teams can't either, by the way, that can have their core offensive players turn to dust. And I've already seen talk on social media where guys like, hey, you gotta break up the core of these offensive players. Really, Lindor and Nimmo are here to stay. I mean, no one's taken on either of those contracts. And I'm not convinced they're the problem. Alonso and McNeil, I've taken McNeil out of the core now to the component with Marte, Bader. And the kids, Beatty and Alvarez, are around the core because I can't put them in the core yet. I can't. Alvarez is only shown one side of the ball. Beatty's only shown one side of the ball. Ironically, it's on the defensive side, which was not what they were advertised in the minors when they were down on the farm. So who are the 2024 Mets? They're a bit of an enigma. They could look really good one day. They could be frustrating a lot of the days. And they could be damn concerning most every day. And I saw some of these things pop up, like a little check engine light on the West Coast trip. They went 3-3, big wins in LA, disguised it. But I warned you. I've been warning you guys. I wrote about this about Diaz. I didn't like the walks. That's the real other part. And I don't know if this is who they are, but the walks. I mean, even Severino has been pretty good with throwing strikes. The walks are a problem. You can't walk and hang out with the Miami Marlins of the world. It's the same thing I said last year when I kept saying, you know, when they're walking guys like the Oakland Athletics who lost well over 100 games last year, you can't expect to compete and win. You can't. You can't give free base runners. And now the league's going to all find out you can't hold on anybody and you can run wild. It's an automatic double every time they walk somebody. Anytime somebody gets on base. I mean, it's like they're all a bunch of Noah Syndergaards. I've seen this before. Look, go back in Mets history, not just when Syndergaard did it, but look at the 1990 Mets with Doc and Viola and Sid I mean, especially late in the year, Doc was, you know, slow to the plate. I mean, I remember they had to do like a slide step with him. I mean, that was before, you didn't need stupid rules to get bases stolen. You had the Vince Colemans and the Delino Shields and guys like that in the league. The league ran wild on that, those guys. Now, those guys, though, all struck batters out. They struck over 200 batters apiece. The Cone, the Docs, the El Cids. So you could miss bats and get away with it. These guys are not striking out at that level. They ain't striking out 1990 Doc Gooden, David Cone, Sid Fernandez level. Let's put it that way. So, I'm not ready to declare what the Mets are, but I'm showing you the trend that's going. And I will tell you this, come Memorial Day, I don't think we're going to get an answer about whether this team is a buyer or a seller. If they're a seller, there's some interesting pieces that they could sell off. I mean, I could see J.D. Martinez being in that mix. Obviously, the conversation about Pete's going to heat up. McNeil, Marte. I mean, I will tell you this, if they are in the doldrums, I am going to be all in on a serious sale for prospects because they could go out and buy offense. They could go out and buy offense. You know, Severino, they could really restock. Now, they already may have depth situations where they have, you know, there's a situation you have too many prospects, but if they could get some serious talent back, cost controlled, and then go back at it next year with a similar plan, you know, bringing in some of the, you know, veterans that you think could produce, then I might be all for it. I'm not there yet. This is the getting to know you phase. The what do they need phase? Well, that's after Memorial Day. Go, and then, you know, are they going to buy or sell? We'll find out. We'll know who this team is come Memorial Day. I have a feeling. Now, whether or not we feel that it's headed toward one way or the other, too soon to tell. All right, let's take a quick break. When I return, we're going to wrap up. I'm going to talk about what happened against the Cubs with the blocking of the plate. I'm going to chat about that on the way out. You're listening to the Talking Mets podcast. We'll be back with more right after this.